3 years of scientific records collected from all parts of Alaska will be analyzed by scientists at the Geophysical Institute at the University of Alaska this year under a new $500,700 grant from the National Science Foundation. Our story today is about that research and the upcoming International Quiet Solar Year on This Is Your University. The data gathered under an earlier NSF grant of $748,900 is part of the International Quiet Solar Year Program, abbreviated IQSY, which has involved scientists all over the world in one of the most intensive studies of the sun during the period of its cycle when it is most inactive. During the period of the IQSY, many of the senior scientists at the Institute have been devoting their time to gathering information about the various effects emissions from the sun have upon the Earth's atmosphere. Many of these emissions, mainly fast-moving particles, such as electrons and protons, are seen in Alaska as the Northern Lights, or aurora. The interior of Alaska, from Fairbanks and reaching to the Arctic Ocean, straddles the auroral zone and provides ideal sites for observing this phenomena. Data has been collected by the Geophysical Institute with equipment installed and operated at numerous Alaskan sites: Talkeetna, Healy, Alakatek, Bettles, Kotzebue, Barrow, and the Dew Line site, Bar 1, as well as the main research sites at College and Fort Yukon. Usually, the equipment at these sites has been kept running by local personnel hired by the Institute to make a daily check, change charts on the records, and mail the instrument recordings to the Institute for handling. The enormous quantity of data collected on charts, photographic film, and magnetic tape has been stored in the Institute's vaults waiting for the systematic analysis, which will now begin. According to Keith Mather, director, the kind of information to be analyzed is varied. But what interests all geophysicists most will be the opportunity to compare the observations collected during this IQSY with the observations collected with similar equipment during 1957 and 58, the International Geophysical Year, abbreviated IGY. Mather explained that the sun shows a remarkable cyclic behavior over an 11-year period. During the 11 years, it progresses from a very quiet period to a most active period, with more sunspots, solar flares or eruptions on its face, and more clouds of particles boiling off and streaming toward the Earth. During the active period, there are also more auroras. The magnetic field of the Earth is more disturbed, and radio blackouts become more frequent. The years around 1957 and 58 were active years, and the scientists all over the world collaborated through IGY in observing the sun and its effects on Earth. By contrast, the last few years, 1963 and 65, have been quiet years for the sun, and scientists through IQSY have again collaborated in gathering information on the sun. Much of the work of the next few years for the staff of the Institute and for geophysicists elsewhere in the United States and overseas will be concerned with comparing the results of the active and the quiet years. The recent grant from the National Science Foundation ensures that the Geophysical Institute will continue to play a prominent part in the closing phase of what has probably been the most internationally activity yet undertaken by scientists at any time in history. This Is Your University is a weekly transcribed feature aired by this station as a public service. It is produced by the University Relations Office in cooperation with the University Radio Station, KUAC. Your narrator has been Ken Burton. Thank you. However you figure it, enrollment in America's institutions of higher learning, including Alaska's, are up and going up. This is the word from the National Association of State Universities and Land-Grant Colleges, an organization that has pointed out through a 17-page report just how critical the situation has become and what colleges may expect to face in the not-too-distant future. And that's our story today for you on This Is Your University. Alaska is not only keeping up with the surge of new students enrolling in the country's colleges and universities, it is surpassing the national average. This fall, the Far West states reported an increase in students of 10.8%. The University of Alaska alone, only one of the state's three institutions of higher education, reported an increase of 17.9% over 1964 and 65. In freshman enrollees, Alaska is second only to Nevada. Nevada State shows an increase of 121.8%, while Alaska has a 60.4% hike. That is, there are 60% more freshman students going to colleges in Alaska today than just 1 year ago. Alaska's growth is even more phenomenal when measured against the average increase in freshmen for all Far West states of 19.5%. What universities and colleges are feeling today is still primarily the bumper wave of war babies and post-war babies, which some 20 years later are reaching college age. Enrollment in public institutions throughout the country was nearly 4 million students last fall, compared to slightly more than 3.5 million the fall before, a 14.5% increase. Private institution enrollment rose 7.8%, or slightly more than one-half of the public increase. And the only change foreseen for all institutions is larger enrollments and perpetual need for more classrooms, more equipment, and more of everything. The U.S. Office of Education has announced a new publication which projects expected enrollments to 1974 and 75. This report shows that, as compared to the fall of 1964, college enrollments will rise by 74% in the next 10 years, or from 5 to 8.5 million students, and Alaska can expect more than its share. The number of students studying for bachelor's degrees will rise by 71%. Doctorate candidates will double, as will those seeking master's degrees, and expenditures will increase by 89%. By states, the range was from 3.8% in the District of Columbia, which has no public institution except a narrowly defined teacher's college, to 24.1% in New Hampshire. Maryland was the only Mideast state which showed an increase of more than 8.6%. Vermont, Illinois, Louisiana, South Carolina, and California were the only other states showing increases of less than 10%. California, however, has 728,000 students in college, compared to 492,000 in New York State. And at the other end of the scale, New Hampshire, Massachusetts, Rhode Island, and Hawaii all showed increases of more than 20%, with Georgia trailing at 19%. Also noted by the publication is the forecast for elementary and high school enrollments, a 13.5% increase in the first classification and 25.9% in the second. Educators are fond of saying, "You never see a classroom being torn down for lack of use." However simple the observation, the blunt truth of it hits home. To meet the needs of the coming generations, Alaska and the nation must expect and plan on an expanding educational system, whether elementary, secondary, or formal. Because, however you figure it, and no matter how you look at it, enrollments are up, up, and going up. This Is Your University is a weekly transcribed feature aired by this station as a public service. It is produced by the University Relations Office in cooperation with the University radio station KUAC. Your narrator has been Ken Burton. For 6 of the past 12 years, Anchorage Community College has been the only source of higher education in Alaska's largest city. It has enabled Anchorage residents who wish to live at home to complete their first 2 years of college. This month, Anchorage Community College observes its 12th anniversary, and that's our story today on This Is Your University. Anchorage Community College marked its 12th year of educational service in that city this month with the announcement of a record-high enrollment of 2,000 men and women for the second semester. The number of students enrolling at the college within the past 2 years has surged ahead tremendously, Eugene Short, resident director, said. In 1963, when we counted the number of different people who had attended the college during the first 10 years, there were 20,000. In just 2 years, we have added 8,000 more different individuals. For the enrollment of 2,000, the college has a full-time faculty of 40 and a part-time faculty of 80. This semester, the community college is operating in 7 different locations, plus 4 hospitals. Administrative offices and most academic classes are at West High School. The hospitals are used for the practical nursing program, which offers clinical experience for the 45 students enrolled this semester. The current enrollment, says Director Short, involves people from 8 to 80, from people learning English as a new language to those working on a master's degree, from people learning the necessary skills for a specific occupation to those broadening their academic background, from those participating in affiliated cultural activities to those in training or retraining for employment under federal subsidy. 90% of the technical education given in the entire state is taking place through the Anchorage Community College. Some of the college's more specialized vocational programs are attracting students from all over Alaska. Mr. Short estimates that from 100 to 125 students came from such places as Ketchikan, Cordova, Naknek, and Holy Cross. And it's not only the student who benefits from a community-oriented college, it's the community as well. The college serves as the sponsoring organization for 6 cultural groups, which bring enjoyment to both the hundreds of participants and the wide audiences for which these groups perform. Currently, the Anchorage Symphony Orchestra, Anchorage Civic Ballet, Anchorage Community Chorus, Anchorage Civic Opera Association Incorporated, Alaska Festival of Music, and Treasures of Sight and Sound are affiliated with the community college. The community college has spent its first 12 years in borrowed and leased quarters spread throughout the school district and in buildings in the city. This year, a proposal is before the state legislature to authorize a bonding program for a separate facility, which would bring the heart of the college under one roof and permit a more extensive daytime program. And so, Anchorage Community College begins its 12th active year with plans for continued service and hopes for facilities to match the educational needs of the Anchorage community. We salute Anchorage Community College. This Is Your University is a weekly transcribed feature aired by this station as a public service. It is produced by the University Relations Office in cooperation with the University radio station, KUAC. Your narrator has been Ken Burton. For the fourth year in a row, the University of Alaska's College of Arts and Letters will sponsor a Festival of Arts poetry contest. Last year, this contest drew more than 700 entries from all parts of Alaska, and this year even more are expected. Our special guest today is Assistant Professor of English Robert King, who is here to tell us more about the contest on This Is Your University. Professor King, perhaps you could start off our program today by explaining the why of such a contest in the first place.
Well, Ken, it certainly goes along with the whole Festival of Arts concept, a time when every art, performing and solitary, as I suppose poetry is, will get a certain amount of recognition. I know by experience that a lot of young writers have dated their real ambitions from the time when they won a prize in such a contest as this. It seems a real good incentive to recognize people that are doing things and that are just maybe vaguely thinking about this. A first prize in a contest or an honorable mention has started a lot of them off on a lifetime of this.
Yes, uh-huh. I know there are no hard and fast criteria by which to judge poetry, but could you possibly tell us what you might look for when you read a poem?
When I read a poem, and I'm not one of the judges now, I look mainly for insights into life, into people, not necessarily a moral or a message to live by, but something that I didn't know before, a way of looking that I just hadn't utilized before, some new or different insight into life, into nature, into the relationships, in the universe, from the smallest to the largest.
I see. Who will be the judges in the contest this year? Have they been decided?
Yeah, we have three. Emile Martel, a professor in the language department here. James Hadra, a professor in the also in the language department. And Reverend Oliver Everett, who's a part-time instructor in English and a practicing poet in his own right, has published several books. And those three will be responsible for the judging. All of them will judge all three of the categories.
I see. I noticed last year there were a children's division, a student division, and a non-student division. Now, will these categories remain the same for this year?
Yeah, we're keeping that three division.
And the award money, what...
It was originally divided up into something like $50 each, but last year and this year we're keeping it. It will be $50 for the first prize and the students, $50 for the first prize and the non-student, and then the children's will be divided up with a $25 and a $15 and a $10 prize for first, second, and third.
I see. And how should one submit a poem to this contest?
We can't return these unless... They have a self-addressed stamped envelope in there. We don't take any rights. They can go on and publish them, but we just simply can't return them unless they make some arrangement. They should be submitted to the College of Arts and Letters, and their names should not be on the particular poems. Their names should be on the envelope or on something inside, but we'll assign them numbers.
Preferably typewritten.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, Mr. King, it's been a pleasure talking with you today, and we hope to see a lot of mail come across your desk in the next month or so. And thanks for joining us today on This Is Your University.
Thank you, Ken.
This Is Your University is a weekly transcribed feature aired by this station as a public service. It is produced by the University Relations Office in cooperation with the University radio station KUAC. Your narrator has been Ken Burton. Since 1964, Associate Professor Lee Salisbury of the who is also head of the Speech, Drama, and Radio Department, has been directing a program called COPAN, COPAN is the abbreviated form for College Orientation Program for Alaska Natives, and funds for it have been provided by the federal government, the Bureau of Indian Affairs, and the university. Professor Salisbury is our special guest today as we take a look at COPAN 65 on This Is Your University. Professor Salisbury, welcome to This Is Your University. Can you tell us what the main idea behind the program called COPAN is?
Yes, Mr. Burton. COPAN, I suppose, came into being because a great many of us in education throughout the state were concerned with the fact that a great many very able Native students were dropping out of school before they should, particularly on the college level.
I see.
Which is where it immediately concerned us here. And so we developed what we feel is a pretty good beginning, a program which we hope will lead to other programs like it, to help the Native student adjust to college life in particular and to actually the Western culture in general.
I see.
You see, I think a problem that a great many of these students who come to us have is that although they've had 12 years of a typical Western education, you might say, they haven't truly lived within the Western culture itself.
This is primarily a communication type of program.
Yes, indeed. This is why I'm interested and concerned in it, because, of course, I'm in the speech and communication field. You see, we noticed that the Native students who did very well here at the university, and a great many have in the past, were the ones who could communicate easily with other people, who could let people know their thoughts and feelings. And on the other hand, the ones who didn't do very well were the ones who were shy and uncommunicative and never let anyone know their problems and dropped out.
Now, how long will the program continue?
The program is in its third summer this year, and its final summer will be the summer of 67.
I see.
It's been sponsored jointly by the three agencies that you mentioned, and we are hoping that, although this program is an experimental one, we feel it has produced good results, and we hope that some program like it will continue after this, because it's we're helping this particular bracket of student who can't be helped in any other way at this time.
I see. I understand the results so far have been very encouraging.
Yes, indeed. All of our students in last summer's program, for example, did very well in their English this fall, which we're delighted about, because characteristically English is the subject which gives them the most trouble ordinarily. But because we had, I think, a very exciting curriculum last summer, composed of interesting books and excellent films and field trips and lectures and discussions, we elicited a great deal of creative expression, which helped them considerably in their writing and in their speaking.
I see. Well, Professor Salisbury, we're running a little short on time, so we'll have to end our discussion this afternoon. I want to thank you for being with us today to discuss COPAN on This Is Your University. This Is Your University is a weekly transcribed feature aired by this station as a public service. It is produced by the University Relations Office in cooperation with the university radio station KUAC. Your narrator has been Ken Burton.